League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
They don't feed either. They have feeding stations set up, but during deer season, they don't feed either. But they kill some pretty big deer down there.
Well, back to this law. The way we do it now, I don't like it because there's no really rules or regulations. You can just dump it on the ground. What they're trying to change is the distance. They're trying to change the distance. And
so you can hunt directly over it if this law passes.
Exactly, which that's not ethical. And I know people are going to call in and say, well, what's the difference between that and a food plot? Well, there's a big difference.
Yeah, those yellow acorns bring them in a little bit different.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to tell you what, if you talk to people in other states that this law is in effect where they can hunt over bait, they're not happy. They're not happy.
No.
It's not working for them. They're not harvesting any more deer than what they normally have.
I have a buddy in Florida. They've had legalized baiting for many years, and I've gone hunting down there, and I didn't see any difference in it. You know,
well, let me tell you what, AB. Everybody from Florida wants to come up to Alabama and hunt.
That's right, and everybody thinks that once that feeder goes off, you put the timer on there, it's going to be like a herd of cows coming to the feed. That's not true.
No,
they're just like they're smart animals, you know.
Yeah, it could turn them nocturnal. It's going to spread disease.
Yes.
It's not good for us, folks. If we're going to do that, why don't we just go ahead and start shooting turkeys over bait?
Yeah, and it ain't the killing aspect. It's, like you said, the disease aspect. We don't need that in our herd here in Alabama.
And if y'all don't think it's close, they're having a problem in Louisiana right now.
Yeah, yeah. And if that starts popping up, then all this hard work people have put in to managing their land, to grow big bucks, that brings a bad thing to it.
The senator that sponsored the bill, Tom Watley, out of Auburn, great guy. We've had him on the show before. He's a super person. I would vote for him, but him and I disagree on this. He's not even a hunter. He's sponsoring this bill. He is not a hunter. He is not an outdoorsman. Mm-hmm. He likes to run, and he's in good shape, and he's a good man, hard-working man. I mean, he gives his time, does his civic duties. Great fella. But this is one issue that I disagree with him on. Well, it wouldn't keep me from voting for him.
You think there's a lot of people out there that do want the baiting, or they don't know?
I think their voice is being heard a lot louder.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think there's more of them? No, I don't. I think there's more of us. One thing about Alabama, we have gotten to be more educated than we've ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
are smarter hunters. We are smarter with our outdoors than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to take us a step backwards.
Right.
In my
right.
opinion now, y'all got to understand, but this is backed up. I work with QDMA. I'm a regional director, Quality Deer Management Association. They've got biologists after biologists. They have some very intellectual people. They do studies at Mississippi State, Auburn, Clemson, Georgia, Penn State. Where there's a biology school, QDMA is involved. They've got scientific facts.
Yes, nationwide research.
But they're dead set against this.
Really?
They are dead set against this. Kip Adams, who is the voice of QDMA, Kip has been on TV. He's known nationally. He has come out and said, no, we are not in favor of
this. It's another added expense to deer hunting, too, that you hadn't. You can't, it's going to be hard to budget in feed so much corn.
I wish the legislature would try to figure out how we can get more public land.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wish.
Yeah.
Now, I'm fortunate. I'm hunting private land, and I have hunted public land before, but I'm fortunate I'm hunting private land. But we got to make it where hunting and fishing is available to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I guess our tax dollars go to that, then why not be available to be able to hunt that land and make it more accessible, which I've seen some where they're making some of it more accessible now there.
We definitely need to grow our numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to grow our numbers. Hey, let's go to line one this morning and talk to Jerry Joe. Good morning, Jerry Joe. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. Just listening to what y'all were talking about on the baiting. You know, and I think we, you know, Steve, we've talked about this before lots on the show. And, you know, I think for any one of us, if we were baiting deer, we would do it in a clean, sanitary way. But it only takes a few, you know, that do dump feed on the ground. And when it gets hot and rainy like we've had some this winter, you're talking about a mess. I mean, And it really concerns me on disease getting spread. I think 99% of the people out there do it right, but it only takes a few out there, and you get some bad feeding stations, and it just gets like a pigsty.
Now, Jerry Joe, I want to ask your opinion on this. What do you think about the existing law we have? Because to me, I do understand the argument, well, if it's only 100 yards, why not go ahead and bring it in closer? And just speaking for myself, I can remember the day when I always thought, well, we need to legalize baiting. We need to legalize baiting. And that's before I became more educated about the situation. What do you think about what we have right now in place? Do you think that we ought to just rescind that and be done with that?
You know, I think instead of I'm not really a baiting proponent anyway, but I think instead of putting up a bill that, you know, dictates on how far and all that we are away from bait, I think it ought to be a bill brought up on how baiting is done, what type of feeding troughs, you know, put some specs into it that you can't just go out and put, you know, feed on top of the ground.
That's a good point.
You know, it's got to be in some kind of cover deal. I think if we're going to do bills, I think it needs to be stuff like that to address the health of our deer herd.
Yeah, put some parameters on it. I know that one time I heard Rex say down at Great Southern when they were first starting to talk about this feeding bill and it was coming about that they were going to have to put, like on a boat, you have to have a license. You license and you buy like a tag that is regulated to say that landowner ABC and XYZ has so many feeders out where they're located and they're tagged. So like you say, they can be regulated. So the conservation officers can regulate it better to go in and say, okay, they're doing it right. They don't have to search. It's not like a needle in a haystack to go find somebody's feeding station. They just go right in and say, hey, it's in this area. Then they can go to it a lot easier. But I don't know if that it probably didn't even pass, if they did that or not, because it sounded like
it was discussed, but it never came up.
Yeah, that sounded like maybe more of a direction you can go in if you did that, you know.
It needs to be something, you know, that puts some teeth into the type of apparatus that's used for baiting or, you know, or for the supplemental feeding. Well, hey, if people want to supplement feed the deer herd and increase the health of it and do it in a healthy manner, I mean, I think that's a great thing. The way it's set up right now, we know we have, you know, you have an absentee landowner leasing a place. Maybe they're not even from this area. After deer season goes, they leave this, you know, what feed is there starts to fall. You know, the deer go into February, you know, one of the toughest months of the year for a deer. And right before everything starts to green up, and without food plots out there, they really don't have a lot left to eat. You know, the acorns are pretty much gone. There's not a whole lot of browse. And if you pack up and leave and not keep feeding the deer throughout, you know, until the, you know, very end of February, 1st of March, when things start greening up, the deer herd goes through a rough time of year.
Yeah, it kind of puts a dependency upon them, feeding them all that time. Then you kind of just lapse on them. And then they're like, hey, what do we do for
Well, and just what you said, Jerry Joe, the most stressful time on a deer is right there at the end of January, February, March, when they've gone through the rut and they need the feed. Because once March kicks in and spring, you know, we usually have spring starting to kick, get new growth there by the end of March, 1st of April. Mm-hmm. You know, they got that natural browse back out there. They're going to get the food that they need. One thing about Alabama, we are very blessed when it comes to food and the land providing for the animals. We have got, I mean, we're just blessed when it comes to our natural habitat and our natural resources.
Yeah, our ecosystem really pops really good during the springtime.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And especially when you compare it. But I agree with you, Jerry Joe. The problem with supplemental feeding, and that's what we've got that's legalized right now, the only regulations is 100 yards and out of sight. And I'm with you. It needs to be up off the ground in a trough feeder. Those trough feeders need to be moved every once in a while. I think deer prefer natural browse over supplemental feed anytime, don't you?
I don't know, man. You put out corn, they do come. You know. But, you know, so do coons and so do all these other animals. And it just, I mean, how many game camera pictures have you seen at night with you know, all these coons and these trolls, you know, they're crapping in there, and then deer try to come up and eat out of there. It's just, it's just a mess.
Yeah, it is. Well, Tuesday, it supposedly could come up for a vote Tuesday, and we'll see what happens. I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, I'll just have to live with it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot of people, Steve, are a proponent of this. It sounds like it might not go through. I don't know. You never know.
I would think that it's got some
teeth to get to
pass
through.
Yeah, it's got some teeth. And Senator Paul Sanford from up in North Alabama, he's fighting it. I do know that. And I'm sure there's a couple of more. And there are some senators and House of Representatives that are outdoorsmen, and they do understand.
Well, the squeaking wheel gets the grease, and those who are for it, they are usually talking about it. People are not, then they don't really fight to say, well, okay, I'm not going to feed regardless, so it doesn't really matter to me whether somebody wants to feed or not. So that might be why some of this is going through, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Jerry Joe, Steve, how's it? Yes, sir?
Hey, Steve, I'm glad we got you at QDA to help, you know, lobby for some stuff like this. I think that's important.
Well, absolutely. When I heard about it, of course, I'm more of a fundraiser for QDMA. I'm not a biologist, and we do have a spokesperson, but that spokesperson did get involved immediately and wrote letters to the House of Representatives, to the senators. They've all got it in their hand. They've got the facts in front of them, what it leads to, and now it's up to them to make the decision they need to make, you know, and we'll see what happens. But QDMA did get involved. They are against it, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy. Hopefully, we'll get QDMA more involved in the state. I know we're starting to grow a little bit and more people. One thing about QDMA is just the education. Education, what you can learn. You know, not all of us are biologists. Not all of us want to be biologists. But the information, if you're a deer hunter or an outdoorsman, it all goes hand in hand. Deer management, land management, and there's a lot to be learned, and QDMA is a good way to learn it.
Don't they put that aging chart out too, Steve?
Oh, man. They've got everything, all your tools you need. There's the whitetail report. There's quality whitetail. You can just go to the website and check it out. It's unbelievable,
good resource.
It is. It is. Some of it's more detailed than I want to be.
Yeah.
You know,
a little too scientific for you.
Yeah, I'm a good old boy. I like to talk to folks.
That's right.
And have fun.
Yeah.
But, boy, I went to a national convention in Louisville, Kentucky last week, and that's why I wasn't here last weekend. And it was so impressive. We had speakers, and to hear these guys talk, the guys that work at QDMA, the biologists, they're very well-spoken. They're very intellectual. But then again, they can come down on AB's level and Steve's level.
That's right.
And speak our lingo, too. So it's just good to have folks like that. They're very, very well-run organization.
So they tied
in. And I'm proud to be a part of it.
They're tied into a lot of the colleges, too, that do research.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
So they're bringing a lot of younger kids up or younger students, collegiate people up to be part of the outdoors. That's
good. You
know,
just a very impressive group. We got 62,000 members nationwide, growing at a good rate, nothing too fast, not too slow. Very well-run association. I mean, the money is watched like a hawk, like it should be.
That's good.
And it's put where it needs to be put, just good folks. Jerry Joe, how's real estate business?
Man, hey, it's really been really busy. We've had several, a lot of showings, a lot of properties under contract. We've even picked up some really nice new listings. I just listed a real nice place over in Dallas County, near Sardis and King's Landing. It's not on the Alabama River, but it's real close to the Alabama River, and just a place that, you know, the family that owns it, they have it. I mean, a chainsaw hadn't touched this place in probably 40 or 50 years. You're talking about some pretty timber, 935 acres. It's got rolling land, bottom land, and it's eat up with deer. And I tell you, the deer are really just starting to kind of rut over there, too. You know, I'm glad, you know, some areas of the state like this southern zone that has this extended season into February, they really need it because, man, they're just starting to rut hot and heavy over there.
Hey, Jerry Joe, we saw you at the gas station the other day. You were looking at a piece of property down around, I guess it was Ada, I guess,
South Montgomery.
With Steve, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Y'all are using the drone to fly this piece of property. I don't know if I'm supposed to vote that or
not. That's fine.
Do y'all use that a lot nowadays? I've seen a lot of realtors and a lot of people start using that.
We just use it kind of as a scouting tool, too. was landowners go out and fly their property. You know, I give you an example. We were looking at a hardwood track down on the Conecuh River with a landowner, and we were flying the drone, and all of a sudden we're flying over this beautiful bottomland hardwood timber, and I saw this little dead area, and I kept following. It was kind of a long, skinny spot, and come to find out, I dropped the drone down and showed the landowner where the beavers had dammed it up. He immediately got on the phone and called his forester and chewed him out for not getting in there and taking care of the beavers. We figured out right there on the spot by looking at the aerial. And
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.